How do you forgive? Welcome to the Handing It to Jesus podcast. This is the podcast where we trade our deepest struggles to Jesus for peace. My name is Craig Faust. I'm here with Matt Tilley. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Craig.
We look forward to talking to you about this huge concept in the Bible, forgiveness, and specifically around the important part this plays in handing over your struggle to Jesus.
I'm excited to get into this today. I think this word forgiveness is one of the hardest words that Christians and non-Christians wrestle with. Not only how do you do it, but why is it important? And we at least know at the end of the day that it's important just because Jesus says so.
Right.
He commands us that we are to forgive. You know, when mm-hmm. the disciples come to him, and they ask him, Lord, how many times should we forgive somebody who has wronged us? And Jesus tells them, I tell you, you should forgive 70 times, which is really kind of him making a statement that you are to always forgive. Mm-hmm. He's kind of embellishing the fact, right? Because there's not a literal number he's saying that number is so big. I mean, how many instances are you going to have in your life that even gets you to that number that you need to forgive?
Absolutely.
That you are to forgive always. And so whether or not we can break down all of the reasons of why it's important to forgive, what it does for you, we can at least fall back on, well, because Jesus said so. I mean, any kid who struggles and wrestles with, why should I do this thing that my parents told me to do? I would venture to guess that there's multiple reasons why that thing is still good to do. But if you're struggling to understand any of those, it's easy as a child to fall back on, well, my mom and dad said so.
Right. Well, I mean, it says this directly in Scripture, right? We cited Matthew 6:14-15. We forgive mm-hmm. because God forgives. We forgive because God will not forgive us if we do not forgive. There's something that appears to be fundamental to this. And, you know, I want to actually talk a little bit about what forgiveness is, right? So we did the good old looking up the definition.
And thank you, Webster.
Yeah, forgive means to let go or to pardon an offender. And this is a very complex and complicated thing, as Matt has said. So the question is, how do we forgive? And Matt and I are counselors, so we want to talk a little bit about the cognitive piece of this, because I think that the cognitive piece is pretty important for us getting down into the minutia. We know why it's important to forgive, because mm-hmm. God commands us to. Mm-hmm. Now we want to get to the different aspects of forgiveness or why it may be hard to forgive.
Right.
And Matt and I were just talking a little bit about this while we were walking in and discussing this episode. And the truth is, often it is hard for us to even detect that we need to forgive someone. Mm-hmm. It's hard for us to recognize or notice, especially when there's been a breach in the relationship that may have been ongoing or it may have happened some time ago. What happens is that when something terrible happens, especially something emotionally distressing, mm-hmm. the brain will recognize that as a threat. So it's going to start to look for signals for that event occurring again. And mm-hmm. it's going to look for specific things to try to, like, as an early warning system. And right. it will store that in a part of our brain called the amygdala. It's like mm-hmm. the threat detection. It's going on all the time while we're conscious,
right.
trying to look for these different types of signals. And that,
which will later become triggers to us, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And all of this is taken, this is energy intensive, right? If it's in our conscious brain all the time. So what our brain does is it reallocates it to our unconscious brain. So let's say that after we get done with this episode, Matt just really lays into me and tells me how dumb I am and how
I would never.
Yeah, I just fumble over my words and how poor of a speaker I am. And he really just lays into me for whatever reason mm-hmm. with that. So there's a breach that happens in that relationship. And what may happen after that is I may be more careful whenever I'm talking around Matt. Let's say that we go, right, Matt says he's sorry, and you know, and we move on from this. And I hold on to this. There's a part of my brain that's like, ooh, whenever I was talking in this way or talking about this topic, or it was kind of this type of day, or I noticed these things were going on with Matt before we got to that, my brain will store those little pieces and will start to look for those things. Right. And what'll happen if it starts to detect something similar, I will go on higher alert. And whenever we go on higher alert, right, so when our brain starts to activate a little bit of that stress response, we become less vulnerable. We start to enter into more of a protective mode. I tell my clients a lot, we become less of ourselves.
Right.
Right.
Because, well, because you're storing it in your amygdala, right? When you notice those things happening again in the future, the way you'll protect yourself might be fight, flight, or freeze. Right? Oh, so you might run away from me. You might become more distant, withdrawn. You might get a little more aggressive or pushy with me in those moments, or you might just completely freeze, shut down.
Absolutely. Right? I actually talk about this in my other podcast, Mental Health Insights. I talk about the emotional protection. And we have all different types of way that we protect ourselves. But no matter what, we are becoming less of who we are there, right? Less of just being us, open, vulnerable. We are becoming less of ourselves because we're operating in that protected state. So now we're operating out of a sliver of who we are in that moment. And the truth is, if that's happening between Matt and myself, this could be happening unconscious, so I may not be aware of it. But whenever I do recognize that this is happening, then I have to recognize there is a breach that's happening in our relationship. And this breach in our relationship is causing me to view Matt in a certain way. And it's probably even giving me different messages about how Matt feels about me, about who I am.
It's filling in the gaps, right?
Absolutely. And these may be things that Matt's saying, he's not saying. So often what I find is people get messages from other people that they're not intending to send. This is just normal, right? As human beings, we're meaning-making creatures. And so if I am in this place where I am looking at Matt as someone who could just blow up at me at any time, who maybe it'll be condescending or maybe is a threat in some way, and I'm being less of me, there's also a chance that internally I am also seeing him as less than who he is.
Sure.
I'm seeing him through this lens of anger or this lens of pain or hurt. And I may be starting to think things about him or assign meaning to him.
Right. Believing something about me that actually isn't true of what I'm feeling or thinking about myself.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the challenge is that Matt is a fellow image bearer of God. So whenever that is happening, I am treating a fellow image bearer of God in a negative way. It is no different than treating God in that same way. Especially, you know, we're talking about here a fellow brother in Christ. So there becomes a responsibility there to work on repairing that relationship. And if Matt and I move to repair, which we'll talk more about specifically what that looks like. Actually, we'll talk a little bit about that right now. So I lied. Sorry. So,
I forgive you.
So if I recognize that this is happening, then it becomes, especially if I'm in relationship with Matt, I got to let him know that, like, hey, you know, whenever you said those other things to me the other day, you know, maybe it happened a month ago or a week ago, I started really, you know, being careful around you. I started being less of me around you, and I started thinking these awful things about you. And it's hard because I know those awful things aren't true. I just know that you had an off day. But, like, I noticed that I still do that. I'm still treating you with some type of resentment or some type of anger there. And I'm not okay with that. I don't want to treat you that way. And I also know it's not right for me to treat you that way and think about you that way. And I'm sorry for that. I hadn't always recognized it. And maybe you noticed that I've been a little more withdrawn from this relationship. And that's why it's been going on. And I forgive you for what you've done there. and that you said that, but I recognize that I've been doing something there that hasn't been right. And I've been treating you as if you haven't said sorry. And that isn't right. So I'm sorry for that.
You know what that would do for me if this was a real scenario that happened is it would alert me to what I have probably already been feeling was happening in our relationship, because surely I would have noticed or picked up on something feels a little different since this happened. Even though I said sorry, Craig is a little different. I feel a little different. It feels a little more awkward. Something's shifted. But I wouldn't have known what. I would have seen your different actions or reactions. And I would have allowed my brain to fill in the gaps of all that could possibly be going on. But I wouldn't actually know, because you hadn't actually said anything. You hadn't actually said what you were feeling, what was going on in your head and your heart. And I think that this is a really vital piece to restored relationship. And it doesn't have to be complete reconciliation necessarily.
Yeah, forgiveness
doesn't always mean that. There's different levels of forgiveness. You know, there's forgiveness that is complete reconciliation, like what God has with us. There's forgiveness that also brings boundaries into it. There's a kind of forgiveness that looks a little bit more like letting go of the power that this person maybe can have over you. But you really don't need to have a relationship at all anymore with that person. And I think that that is a rare circumstance, by the way. More often we see that in cases of abuse and neglect, where it would be dangerous, very dangerous to have a relationship with this other person.
Right, or at least even be around them alone.
Right, exactly. But and, we still want to forgive for the sake of restoration to our own souls, right?
Oh, and for us, it releases not only restoration to our own soul and honoring what God commands us to do, which is always number one. Neurologically, it's how we're built. So so if Matt and I have what we call in psychology like this corrective emotional experience, what will happen on the amygdala level is I'm weakening my brain looking for those types of triggers. Right? So I'm helping my brain turn down the volume on, hey, with Matt, I have to be careful of these different things because of that corrective emotional experience. Now, this is all assuming that it goes well, right? I could apologize to Matt and he could fly off the handle and things could go poorly. And that's always the risk with forgiveness.
But
the thing is, we are still called to forgive. Even if it doesn't go properly. And if it doesn't go properly, it turns out that Jesus has already set in place, even before he spoke about this, like, what does it look like whenever you're in conflict with a fellow believer? You go and talk to that believer one-on-one. You talk about the sin that's occurring between the two of you. So notice whenever I talked with Matt, I kept it mostly focused on me and my sin that was going on there. There is a specific reason I do that. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about taking out the plank out of your own eye when judging another person. So if I walk in and I'm wanting to forgive Matt, but the only thing I'm doing is judging him based on what he's done.
You did this. That wasn't okay. You did that. I'm angry at you.
I'm not allowing my heart to actually move into forgiveness there. And that's okay, right? We may not be able to do this on first go. Turns out that forgiveness, it's okay to be a process, like most emotional experiences, right? There is a process here, and we may have to do it many times.
I think often we have to do it many, many times.
But like if we try that one-on-one and it doesn't work, then we bring a witness with us to try to be there while we are attempting to reconcile and we're talking about the sin that's occurred between us. And if that doesn't work, then we can bring a congregation if you all are in the same church or
or the rest of our community.
Your community in some way. I'd say community of other believers, right? So if you're you're a family and you guys are all believers, then okay, like maybe that's what that looks like. Here is the challenge is that like Matt said, you may be in a place where you may discern I cannot be around this other person, which is an appropriate boundary. From what we see in Scripture. Now, if the sin is too egregious, and well, too egregious isn't the right word, if the sin is such that it is causing you to continue to fall, then there is precedence for cutting that person out of your life. there's precedence for the congregation cutting the person out of your life. Mm. Because at the end of the day, if someone cannot acknowledge their own sin and they're continuing to do different actions or behaviors mm-hmm. that is causing you to sin, and in this instance, it may be because you're consistently mad at them. Your anger and you're thinking about them in this negative way, that's a fellow image of God. Mm-hmm. We cannot allow ourselves to go there. We have to be able to work on that anger so that we can forgive. Mm-hmm. And we do that by acknowledging our peace does not matter if they are willing to.
Right.
Right? Which is, it's yeah, a hard...
The forgiveness is all on you, isn't it?
Yeah. It's hard for people to accept. Yes. Yeah. Whether or not they repent or not.
Yeah.
But we're also doing something else, right? We're offering them the opportunity to see.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we do that by naming it with them. If they're mm-hmm. part of our community, if we rub shoulders with them, I think this is the hard part for any of us within the Christian community and out, mm-hmm. is that if we do move towards forgiveness, what's easy for all of us to do is I'll forgive in my heart by letting go of these hard emotions, letting my anger fade or my sadness fade, cognitively, like even naming it to myself, I forgive them, I'm moving forward. And very often we don't communicate anything with that other person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when we don't communicate anything with that other person, kind of what Craig was illustrating in this scenario between him and I, the other person might still pick up on a change, a shift. Mm-hmm. And if you don't communicate anything, more likely than not, your brain and your body is still going to feel a change or a shift between you and this other person.
Right.
Naming the pain or the hurt or the struggle or the tension, whatever it is powerful, because naming things in general is powerful, mm-hmm. but it alerts somebody to here's what's going on between us. Mm-hmm. And they actually have right. a chance to respond and react and engage with you.
Right.
And so that is what is healing for the relationship. Yeah. That's the scary part that many of us do not do. We don't go to the other person very mm-hmm. often and name what's going on in our head or our heart with them. And I think we all wind up missing out quite a bit when we don't do that.
So we might be judging them, or we might be in a place where we are treating them as if what they did was not only purposeful, but we are allowing sin to not only enter that relationship, but affect that other person
mm-hmm.
without letting them know, which yeah. is most certainly not something that we're called to do, yeah. right?
They don't get a chance to see their sin mm-hmm. in the perspective that we experienced it and to repent of it, right?
Right. So we have to do business with ourselves
mm-hmm.
before we start to approach this right. other person.
Yeah, which is why we have forgive in the place that we do in the workbook. Right. Notice it comes after doing a lot of the meditating and reflecting, a lot of the hard connecting work of going to God in prayer and study and going to other believers. It comes after mm-hmm. grieving because it is important for us to sit with some of the hard emotions for ourselves first and with God mm-hmm. and with others. Before we come to this other person, so right. that we are clear-headed and open-hearted as we discuss with them.
Yeah.
But I think maybe a lot of us don't do that before we attempt to forgive, and partly that can make forgiveness yeah. extra hard.
Oh, totally. And forgiveness can be a practice, right? The more you do it, the better you get at it. Mm-hmm. The better you get at catching it early, which is, I think, yeah. a big deal. Yeah. Right, because longer something festers, the more likely you're allowing sin mm-hmm. to crouch at your door.
Yeah.
And it's affecting that relationship. It's affecting you. It's not right. It's not how things are meant to be.
Right.
And this is your opportunity to take action for that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about whenever forgiveness goes wrong. This is not only what most people are afraid of, but uh-huh. this may even be what sometimes people have experienced.
Because you can't control for all the unknowns, right? Yeah. And maybe that's part of why we don't actually name it with the other person, is we fear that they're going to explode on us, or they're going to shut down and withdraw or run away.
Or we show our heart and they stab it.
Exactly.
Right? So like right there, whenever I talked with Matt about this, I was pointing out my own sin and what happened to me and how what I was doing was wrong.
That puts you at more risk, doesn't
it? Absolutely. They could sit there and say like, yeah, you're right. You really messed that up.
Mm-hmm.
And they could just camp out at there. And they may not actually share what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it is not your responsibility to force them to go through and acknowledge their sin and share this.
Right.
And you just talking about it. It's not your job
to convict them of
their sin. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But you allowing them to see it, how it's affected their relationship, and you inviting them to see how you have thought about them mm-hmm. and felt about them and how that's not right,
yeah.
is inviting them into that same conversation. If they can't move there right away, part of that, it's understandable. They may not have thought about this as much as you, or, you know, they may still be entrenched on this. And that's when, if they sin against you right there,
mm-hmm.
right? So like they double down on this, you can still allow yourself to forgive them and recognize that, hey, right now, while they're in this state, I can't be around them alone.
Mm-hmm.
I need to have somebody else there with me. That way, that other brother that's with us or sister that's with us can have the opportunity to show them that sin, can have the opportunity to bear witness to them about what's going on. And often that is actually a higher chance that they may be able to take in what that other person's saying,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they weren't involved in what was going on there. Now, that being said, let's say that doesn't work and it's still something that needs to be addressed. Again, that's whenever you can bring in a congregation. That's whenever you can bring in a community of believers to be able to help resolve this. And if not, right, if it's really egregious, again, it might call for the community to cut them off, might call for you to cut them off, or it just might call for, I can't be around them alone. I can be with them in a crowd. I'm not going to be friends with this person. But it's still your responsibility to keep your own emotional state and your own emotional thinking towards them in a position of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you've already done a lot of hard things in this workbook up until this point. This is very difficult, right? And I don't want to sugarcoat it, and I don't even want to talk about how, like, our formula is going to make everything, you know, go smoothly or anything here.
Well, we can't predict every human action or every human emotion for your particular circumstances mm-hmm. with a particular person.
Yeah. But what I do know about people is that if you talk about what's going on with you, they're usually more receptive to that.
Yep.
All right. But it may not go well.
It may not.
And that's okay if it doesn't go well. Well, it's not okay. Sorry.
It
is
sucks.
Not. It is not okay, because that means that there's something not right with the relationship. God uh-huh. wants right relationships.
Yeah.
But if you've done everything that you can and you're honoring that other person the best that you can, then you're doing everything
that you can do, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And there's still a work that God is doing in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's where we have to be okay with having the forgiveness. We've had the conversation, but we don't have the completely restored relationship with this person. So maybe at that point we accept that, well, there is a slight schism in our relationship. And what that means is a boundary can fill that void so that I can at least still have some semblance of a relationship mm-hmm. with this person.
Right. This is, Matt and I talked a little bit about this before. This is kind of what it looks like with parents sometimes.
Yeah.
People have had terrible relationship with parents, or they've had abusive partners or anything. And yeah, like a boundary is called.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different with parents, because we're called to honor our father and mothers.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there seems to be some biblical precedence that if there is a rift there, they cannot see their sin, they're not willing to acknowledge it,
right,
then we can have that boundary of other people need to be there for that.
Right? Yeah, maybe other people are around us when we hang out. Maybe mm-hmm. we don't spend as much time with this person. Maybe we have a cutoff of, you know, when we're around this person, of the time of day.
Or if they start doing that behavior again, you don't have to put yourself in a situation that's abusive.
Yeah, we excuse ourselves from the room mm-hmm. or maybe there's certain topics that we say are hands off, that we don't talk about, right?
Yeah.
But what can still be important, even with that person, if they're in your community, if you rub shoulders with them, to name the boundary that you're going to have with mm-hmm. them. And a good boundary is one that they never have to try to enforce. Mm-hmm. It's one that you simply enforce. Hey, you don't have to do anything. When you start talking about this or doing this thing, though, I'm not going to be around for it. I will politely excuse myself.
Right.
That is the consequence of what has happened between us. But I still love you. Want to have a relationship. I'll still be around.
Mm-hmm.
And please don't hear us saying that It is always the case that you need to go to this person, whoever it is that you're struggling to forgive, because there are so many times in my life too where I've felt hurt by somebody who's really not even in my life.
Right. If somebody cuts you off in traffic.
Yeah.
Right. And you're angry at them. And I've had this happen where I've cursed at this other person and I'm like, ooh, hold on. Like, and so I got to do business with that right there.
Yeah.
Right. I got to be able to forgive whatever that other person did. And I also got to be able to do business with the sin that just crept into me and that made me think it was okay to think of another image of God that way.
Totally.
Right. That is a sin against this other person. It's a sin against God and what God decided to do to pay for us.
Yes.
So for us, we want to be able to catch ourselves, but I don't have to speed up and follow this person where they went and be like, hey, like I cursed this at you. I know you didn't hear me, but I just got to let you know.
You'd look a little crazy, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And so there is a common sense piece here that's like, these are people that you're in relationship with.
Right.
And it could be people that maybe you have let go of that relationship for a long period of time. They may be people that you decide to reengage with. But I think a good rule of thumb is if, you know, you're getting to some of these questions specifically about the struggle and you're thinking about somebody that's not been in your life for a while and you don't really know if you need to have a conversation with them about the forgiveness, pray about it.
Yep.
Ask God. And if God convicts you, well, then there you have your answer.
Yeah. He's the one who convicts us of our sin, right? And the Holy Spirit is a better counselor than Craig or I.
Right.
And I think that he will guide your heart and your mind and give you that conviction or that answer of, do I need to approach them? Do I need to actually name this with them? Or is it fine that I'm not engaged in a relationship with them, that they're not in my life, that I'm not in their
life?
Can
I do this work on my own without actually going and engaging in that relationship?
That's an important question, isn't it? Can I do this work on my own? This work of healing and growing through our struggle and closeness with God and others without going to them and naming this?
Right. Let God make that decision for you, because I don't know about you, but me, I'm much better at working at this on my own and never opening my lips about it with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. It's easier. Way easier.
Is. Yeah. The problem is that that's not what God tells us to do, right? Yeah. If we're having the offering at the altar, right? Another Matthew one. Hey, you tell it we like the gospel, right? And you know that there's something wrong between you and your brother. Leave your offering there. Go reconcile with them and then come back. So there seems to be some type of precedence and some type of urgency here. And there is the urgency, but I also want to honor this emotional piece that you may forgive and you may still have to do work on your side of the street here, where you may have to continue to allow yourself to forgive, continue to pray about that, continue to help, ask God for strength. I think that there is this part of the body of Christ that is a little bit unreasonable sometimes, because maybe they've experienced this or they've asked for forgiveness for somebody and they've had a corrective emotional experience and it's revolutionary for them and they now bear no grudge and they expect other people to have the same level of forgiveness, and it just may not be the case. So just know that you may forgive somebody, and it may be a journey where you have to continue to pray forgiveness. You could continue, you have to speak it out loud. It has to continue to be a part of your journey. And that sucks. That's awful. Mm-hmm. That's part of how the emotional journey works in the brain and the body, is that we don't get to have one corrective experience and turn off all the triggers or all the pain or all the hurt or all the trauma that's
happened. Almost never how it works, right? We need like 100.
Yep. So give yourself that permission and that space for us to step into that reality. Now, there are times where God fully restores us in an instance.
Yeah, and that's a miracle, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. God can do anything. Yeah. But there's times where that process of forgiveness is a continued work on getting our heart in the right position so that we can build up the tolerance and the awareness of when we need to forgive and have that power to do it again and again and again and again. Because I've been so used to doing so many reps. There is a grace there that surpasses anything else with God, and he's trying to help us to step into that a little bit so that we can have that with other people.
Kind of makes me think of that there's an ease to forgiveness when you have some hearty spiritual muscles, but you can't get hearty spiritual muscles unless you work out.
Absolutely.
Which means all of the things that we've been talking about before forgiveness, but to forgive also, I think, is one of those reps included with closeness with the Lord.
Right.
How can I be close with the Lord if I'm still harboring hate or anger or mistrust towards another believer, thinking of them as lesser than how God created them?
Right. So just real practical, this will be a two-part episode, but real practical. How do you forgive? Well, first, you got to be able to recognize that it's going on, right? You got to recognize. Yeah. So pray about it. Who do I need to forgive? God, help me to picture them in my mind, right? We have these questions that we'll go over next time. They'll make it specific to our struggle. But like when the person comes to the mind, whenever that breach in the relationship comes into place, it's your responsibility to go and talk to that person. Mm-hmm. Before you do that, before you go and have the conversation, recognize the part of your, like the part that you've played in the sin that's occurring between you two.
Yeah.
Recognize it, pray about it, acknowledge it, be able to explore, how has this caused me to show up? How does it cause me to think about them? How does it cause me to feel about them? Mm-hmm. And how is that not appropriate for how I'm supposed to be with another image of God?
Right.
And once you get that, now you go to them and you tell them about that.
Yeah.
Tell them about the sin that's occurred between you two and your part.
I think what I'm hearing you name there is that there's a part of your own repentance that, which we've talked about in the past, that comes before we even move into the forgiveness of another person.
This is that, like, removing the plank from your own eye, right? There's a, you know, there's a whole bunch of sayings around this, and I can't think of any appropriate ones right now that don't involve cursing in some way. We want to make sure that our, I keep on using this analogy, like our side of the street's clean, but we got to recognize the dirt on our side. We got to recognize that there's been buildup. There's things that we've done. And when we can go to them and we could say, there's sin that's going on between us, it's not okay. And you know what? This is my part. I've been thinking this about you. And like, I've been saying this about you in my head, and it's not okay. You're an image of God. I care about you. I love God, and I need to love you too. And these things have been getting in the way of that. It's not all right. I am sorry for what I've done. I forgive you for what you've done. You could forgive them ahead of time. You may not even need to hear their apology, but you may need to ask them, right? Right? I want to forgive you too, but I want to hear you speak on this. Doesn't matter what they say after that. You still have to forgive them, and you still have to work towards that. But you may want to hear like what they have to say about this breach. Do they see it? Can they see their part of this? May I ask, like, can you see your part of this? Like, you know, and have you felt this tension between us? Have you felt this sin? And you're starting to move into that reconciliation. And then we want to actually go for the asking and letting them know.
That's right.
Right. I forgive you for what you've done. Right. And then we're going to talk a little bit about this because we want to also be able to forgive ourselves for what we've done, how we've treated this other image. We want to ask for forgiveness from God for this. So we got these different pieces that we want to work on, but we actually want to get those words out.
If you're struggling to forgive, it might be because you haven't actually allowed yourself the opportunity to have that repair conversation with that other person. When you actually name it out loud for them to hear, it has so much power. And I'm curious what would happen for you guys if you allowed yourself that opportunity, if you took that courageous step to move toward them in that way.
We talk a little bit about this in the workbook, right? That if you haven't downloaded it, it's free. It's in our show notes here. But we talk a little bit about the biblical precedence for this. And, you know, we list some different Bible verses to talk about forgiveness. I would recommend that if this is something that you struggle with, do a theme study around it. Mm-hmm. Read about what God says about forgiveness. Read about what Jesus spoke about forgiveness. There is important things there that we have to be able to wrap our heads around. And for you, if you're like a really heavy cognitive thinker, you may need to read and munch on this to help you recognize that I'm not submitting to God's word. I need to submit to God's word, so I need to do this.
Right.
And we will have a part two episode where we'll go over these portions in the workbook and continue to talk about what this looks like on a really practical level. But until then, we appreciate you listening to this. It's hard,
thank
right?
You guys.
Nobody looks at forgiveness and they don't get excited about it or anything like that. It's hard work. It's hard work. And we so appreciate that you're doing it. We so want to encourage you that this work is worth it. There's a reason that God talks about it. And God loves you so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for you so that there would be this reconciliation, so that the forgiveness we absolute. And there's this invitation for us to step into that.
Yeah.
By forgiving just as God has forgiven us.
Amen. Yeah. So, we've been forgiven of a lot.
Yes.
And that's one of the big reasons why we forgive too.
Right. And as image bearers, we need to follow in God's footsteps the best that we're able and ask God for strength for all the ways that we're not able.
Mm-hmm.
And this may be an area for you. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. Just know that we love you very much. To take care.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this, and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially, and this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way, and where I see different things that I want and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that we want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so like usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that, because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content. And God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different
things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much, and we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.